Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 225 on November 14th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon. Become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on my website. There's another way to support my work. That's through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So this thing where I offer the free phone consultation for equipment, that was really fun yesterday because Tiffany sent me a text and said, hey, there's this guy that wants help figuring out what kind of pegging equipment to buy, and I don't have time to do this right now. Can you help him? Well, it turns out that this guy was on FetLife talking about how he needed to buy some new equipment, and some lovely woman from, I believe it was Ottawa, said to him, hey, you should go to enticeme.com. That's where Ruby says to go, and you can shop there. So he went there, and he had listened to a couple of my podcasts in the past, and he was quite interested in pegging, but I don't think he was really a every single week listener. He'd heard a couple of my podcasts and probably looked at some of my stuff. So imagine his surprise when Ruby Ryder calls him up and says, hey, let's talk about this pegging equipment stuff. And he was kind of blown away. He's like, wow, this is Ruby Ryder. So that was really fun, and we had a great time helping him choose exactly the equipment that is going to be the best for him. So let's see, moving along here, what else is happening? Well, the biggest thing happening in my area is that there's fires all over the place in California. Holy crap. I mean, I know that everybody where they live, they've got something, right? Here we have earthquake and fires. And last year, do recall that the Thomas Fire pretty much surrounded the entire area where I live and didn't burn my house, thank God, and I was evacuated for 5 days, and it was quite an interesting experience. And I use the word interesting quite loosely here. There's really no danger, or at least not very much, where I live now, even though the fires are not that far away, primarily because since it burned all that last year in December, much of the fuel that would normally go into creating a great place for the fire to go is kind of gone. But like 15 miles south of here, family and friends have evacuated. I'm keeping in touch with people, and we've all got our fingers crossed, because although our fire, meaning the ones down here in the southern part of the state, have not been nearly as destructive as the one in the northern end of the state, still they're raging along, and they're on the edges of hugely populated areas. Malibu took a huge hit up in the hills. And as far as the fire up north, good grief, the campfire victims. So the campfire up north just decimated the town of Paradise. It's the saddest thing ever, and probably anybody who's been watching the news has seen the really awful pictures coming out of there and the stories, and there's been a lot of lives lost in these fires, primarily up in Paradise. I think 43 is the latest count, maybe 44 today. It's so, so sad. There is just utter devastation up there. So yes, my heart goes out to all the victims of the fires in California, especially those who have lost people and animals. You can replace things, you know, but you cannot replace people or animals. You can't replace living things. And it's just so sad when a fire comes in so quickly and that it takes life, that you have no chance to escape. Oh, yes, deep breath. Everything seems to be better. The winds are dying down. And so let's cross our fingers and light our candles and do whatever you do to send some good thoughts our way for those fires to calm down. I recall from last year, there were pictures of the firefighters still fighting the Thomas Fire literally on Christmas. So yes, let's not do that again, please. Goodness sakes. All right, let's move on to something a little more positive here. How about a patron update?
Yes.
Wow, you guys have been generous this month. I have three new patrons. Andrew signed up for $5 a month. Andrew, thank you so much for becoming my patron. I appreciate your generosity. Fred signed up for $5 a month. Fred, that's awesome. I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate you becoming my patron. And John squeaked in at the nth hour, right before I started recording this podcast, for $5 a month as well. John, thank you for your support. I appreciate it so much. And then I received a one-time donation from Richard. Actually, I received two donations from Richard. I think maybe he pushed the button twice, or maybe he decided that the first $10 donation wasn't enough and donated $10 again. Whatever way it happened, Richard, thank you so much for your donation. Everything helps, and I appreciate your support. Now let's move on to the Movember Challenge. Remember, I'm doing 2 miles a day for the Movember organization. I did receive a donation for that. One of the people who has signed up for my upcoming webinar, Anne, gave me $20. Thank you so much, Anne. Movember people are really going to appreciate that. So my goal in the beginning was $500. Within the first 5 days, I'd gotten up to $340, so I changed that goal to $750. Now I am up to $360 and could really use some more donations if anybody out there is moved to donate. Let me tell you a little bit more about what they do. In the beginning, when I talked about this Movember Challenge, I mentioned how they are instrumental in working towards making inroads towards men's mental health and suicide prevention. So here's a few statistics. 80% of suicides in the United States are men. 34,000 men take their lives every year. The Movember Foundation funded an initiative through the Prevention Institute called Making Connections for Mental Health and Well-Being Among Men and Boys. It has 14 community-led projects that are all working to improve mental health and build resilience among men at a heightened risk of exposure to trauma, suicide, and other mental health concerns. So one of these is called the Legends of Lawndale, and the Legends of Lawndale site brings together nonprofits, schools, and young leaders in Chicago's West Side. It's a mentorship program, and it focuses on supporting young men and boys of color who are growing up in a challenging environment where far too many men are dying too young. There is a YouTube video that shows you the people involved in this and gives you a view in to see what this is like. And I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama. I urge you to go watch it. This is just a video of one of the 14 of these that they're doing. And the thing is that no, you know, you can't save every single man that's going to commit suicide. On the other hand, you can make a big difference in a lot of lives by reaching out to young men and boys early in their lives, especially the ones that live in the most difficult situations and that are at risk. So take a look at that and donate if you can. $360 towards $750, I'm getting there. Oh, and am I doing my 2 miles a day? Absolutely, I'm doing my 2 miles a day, except for 2 days ago. I missed one day, got really busy all day, did not make it to the gym before I went to bed and did not go out to the garage and do my 2 miles. So that would have been 2 days ago. Well, yesterday I went ahead and did 4 miles. 4 miles. That took me 45 minutes and 10 seconds. Oh man, I was pumping it, trying to, you know, I compete with myself when I go to the gym. It's like a numbers game that keeps me going. So I was zeroing down on that 45 minutes, counting down to it, and I was almost at 4 miles, and I did not quite make it in 45 minutes, but I made it in 45 minutes and 10 seconds. So that was entertaining, absolutely. I will put the link for Movember in the Linkorama again. Please click on that and donate if you can. And if you want to go to the Movember website, to my Mo space, as they call it, since I am a Mo sister, you can see the new mustache I have drawn on my smiling face there. And if you look deeply enough, you can find unflattering sweaty pictures of me, as I promised, when I leave the gym in the morning after working out. Enjoy that. I don't post those very often, and as soon as this year is done, you will never see them again. Actually, that will make me kind of happy. Okay, let's get to your letters. This first one is titled Bigger Dildo. Ruby, so I wrote you a while back about your advice for a larger dildo. My wife and I ended up purchasing a Square Pegs Toys Leo 1X with harness base and flush cup. All I have to say is, wow, this is a big toy. However, this is also our first made of super soft silicone. From the website, this toy measures. Head is 7-inch circumference. The max shaft circumference is 7.5, and the height is 10.25 inches. Now back to the wow. This toy feels great. My wife has never seen me take anything this huge, nor has she seen my hips and ass buck and squirm for her dildo. We have since upgraded my butt plugs to Square Peg Toys Egg Plug. We have both the large, extra large, and the extra large. I can easily take and wear the large, extra large for hours, but now my wife has me working on wearing the XL for an hour, as we are looking forward to buying the Mel harness in 2X. Height 9.75 inches, max circumference 8.5 inches. I would recommend these toys to everyone. They are absolutely fantastic. Thank you for everything you do, James. I've heard some lovely things about Square Peg Toys, and it is absolutely a viable option when shopping for 100% silicone toys. I've also heard some really good things about the super soft silicone. So thank you for that information. I am thrilled that you and your wife are having such a good time and that you have found toys that not only work for you, you have found toys that bring you so much pleasure and make you buck and squirm. I enjoyed that description. And this is signed by James. James, thank you so much for sharing that information. That'll be helpful for the people out there searching for the big toys. And speaking of the big toys, there is a new harness option that I have found for those of you who really like the big ones. This is something that popped up on FetLife, and actually somebody sent me a thing saying, hey, you should get one of these. And these are harnesses that are built to hold the really big toys. The cool thing about this website is that there's not only just another option, like one harness that holds a whole bunch of size of toys. It turns out there are many options. There's colors, there's just different materials, there's vegan leather. These come from the stunning porn actress Carmen Rivera, who uses huge strap-ons in her shoots. She has had harnesses specially made for her in Italy, and she is now offering those harnesses for sale in a variety of colors and materials. So for you extra-large toy lovers out there, this is another option. Many more options for you. And the website is straponxxl.com. I will put that in the Linkorama. And there are some beautiful pictures there and some beautiful harnesses. Should this be something you are really needing? I know over the years I have been asked that several times about, really, there's no harnesses to hold the really big ones? Well, apparently Carmen Rivera realized this and started offering those. And made in Italy. Yes, they are pricey, but if you are a fan of the really big toys, you are spending lots of money for those toys, and it makes sense to actually have a harness that will hold them. So yes, check that out in the Linkorama. Carmen Rivera, thank you so much. Yay. Okay, this was a letter that was sent to me on FetLife. Please forgive my unsolicited message, but if I might ask your opinion on a subject I am writing about, my assertion is that pegging is an equalizer in relationships and even in dating. When I grew up, near Ventura College, incidentally, I held the belief that men were dominant and that women were to be subjected to sex as the submissive partner. I now believe that the tables have been turned and that pegging provides women with the power over men in the same way men held this over women. Women have the ability to force sex onto men, and the playing field is leveled. Am I correct? Thank you for your review and correction, respectfully. So this is a really interesting way of looking at things. I can't say as it's my way of looking at things, because when I think of engaging sexually, I think of first equality, always. And then I think of agreements. And, you know, this probably is my BDSM background, but I think of negotiation and agreements. This came up in a different way, in a different area of FetLife as well. Somebody talking about female-led relationships, and it had a lot to do with this story that I wrote. And I think I mentioned this story about the guy at the bank that loses his job, and his girlfriend says, hey, we've been dating for a year, move in with me, I'll pay for everything, and you can do everything, and by the way, you're going to be locked in chastity. So that's the premise of the story. It got a tremendous amount of attention on FetLife. And one of the guys there said, yes, female-led relationships, yes, women are superior, and men need to realize this, and this is happening more, and we've elected a whole bunch of women in this last election, and etc. So I answered him the same way that I start off answering this message that I got. I believe in equality. I don't believe in female superiority. Are there some things that women are better at? Yes. Are there some things that men are better at? Yes. Are women better at leading? Sometimes. Are men better at doing other things sometimes? Sure. So I think that it's more important to start from a base of equality and then have negotiations and agreements. Now, if you negotiate and agree and decide that you are going to have your female partner completely be in charge of everything and that you're just going to follow directions, great. But in my mind, that doesn't mean she's superior to you. It means that she is in charge and that you have agreed to allow her to be in charge. So subtle difference, but I believe it's really an important one. So let's go back to this letter. I now believe that the tables have been turned and pegging provides women with the power over men in the same way men held this over women. Well, I mean, historically, yes, men have been the ones to run the show sexually. And it's more than that. Because men are stronger, there's the whole aggressive edge that men have. They're supposed to be the hunters. The women are supposed to be the ones that are playing hard to get, and they're supposed to be the prey. So along those lines, I can see what you mean. But then you say women have the ability to force sex onto men and the playing field is leveled. You know what? Ideally, nobody forces anybody to do anything, no matter what kind of toy they have on them, unless it's negotiated. So, I don't know. You know, part of me wants to say this is sort of like it's in fantasy world. Clearly, this isn't what you mean when you wrote me this letter. This is not your intent, since you are actually writing something about this. It's a subject that you're writing about. Here's what I think. There is an element of us against them when you talk about sex. And I don't think it's that way. I think that sometimes it can turn out to be that way, but I think the best sexual relationships are two people working together. Now, if there is a negotiated and agreed upon us against them, and it's a playful part of the dynamic that you share that works for you, then freaking awesome, right? But in terms of overlaying that template to everyone, and everyone who engages in pegging, no, I totally disagree. Because there are people out there, prime examples are some of my favorite, which are the real contrast people. And what I mean by that is like the guys who are hyper-masculine, they're in the military, they're Marines, they're whatever, and yet they do the pegging thing. So are they allowing their partner to have power over them? See, the act of pegging itself, I don't think is allowing someone to make you submissive. I think what it is vulnerable. And the difference between vulnerability and submission is subtle but important. When you are vulnerable, you are opening yourself up completely and trusting the other person to do as they will with you. When you submit, you are submitting to someone's wishes and following their instructions and doing whatever they say. So yes, subtle but important difference. And this is something that men trip over all the time because they equate the two, they conflate the two. And vulnerability actually takes strength. It is not something that is weak at all. So yeah, I have to disagree. I don't think that women should force sex on men at all. Just like I don't think that men should force sex on women. So there you go. That is the best answer I can give you to that. It was a very interesting question, and thanks for sending it in. Here's my next question. Help, I am failing at this. I'm what is called vanilla, and all this was new to me 3 years ago. I still can't seem to get it right. Half of the time I can't get my dildo in. Before I even begin, I get nervous I'm going to do something wrong and he will get frustrated with me. I still think the whole thing is weird, but I want to please him. I need advice on how to get into wanting to do it, how to get turned on by the idea, ideas on different ways, etc. The list would be too long. He's not into me being dominant, thank goodness, but I don't find it to be sensual looking for it. Please help. He says if I don't have fun, it's no good. He's losing patience with me, and rightfully so, but it only adds to my performance anxiety. It's hurting our relationship in the bedroom. And this is from Cynthia. Cynthia, oh my goodness, I feel for you. So there's a bunch of different dynamics it sounds like are going on here. So all this was new to you 3 years ago, and you haven't quite settled into it. So you still think it's kind of weird. I'm glad that you used the word weird and not disgusting or something like that, because when it comes to doing sexual things for your partner that you're not really into, you might think they're weird, you might think they're a little strange, and you might be really kind of benign about it, sort of like, meh, doesn't get me off, but oh well, if it's something you like, I'll do it. And that's a workable place to be. But if you think it's disgusting or awful or things like that, and you're still making yourself do it, that is when it's not a good thing to do, because all of that energy is going to come through when you do that with your partner. So, okay, you think it's a little weird. You know, my very first thing I would tell you to do is to go listen to podcast number 112. Partly I would urge you to listen to that if you haven't already, because it helps you to understand why men enjoy this, but it also helps you to understand why it's so difficult for them to ask for. One of the things that I think is happening here is that he felt really exposed and vulnerable and perhaps tinged with just a bit of shame and uncomfortable asking you to do this. So now that you're having issues doing it kind of as well as you'd like and as well as he would like, he is getting a little bit sort of because it was so hard for him to ask for in the first place. So another thing that I would suggest after you listen to podcast number 112 is, in this order, take one of my webinars. That way you're going to learn so much information that's going to give you a little bit more confidence. Confidence that you're doing things the right way, hints and tips and techniques, and it'll just give you a whole run through, because when you're feeling really unsure of yourself, one of the solutions is to educate yourself. So podcast number 112, take one of my webinars, and then last but not least, by any means, you need to have a sit down with him. And you need to have that sit down, not in the bedroom. You need to sit down with him and say, okay, look, I know this is something that you really enjoy. I know it's something that you love. And I know that you've been frustrated with me because I can't seem to quite get on board as much as you would like. So I would like to work on that. But what I need here is your support. I need you to stop getting frustrated with me when I struggle a little bit. I need you to start having some patience so that we can try and work towards this being a fun thing to do with each other. I know how much you want this, and because I love you, I want you to have this, and I want to do it for you. But I am struggling a little bit, and I'd like to get past the struggling into a space where I enjoy it. I look forward to it. I would like to have it be something where we can schedule it, like once a week or something like that, and it's something that we really look forward to. So here are some of the ways that you can help me. When we are doing pegging, and you see me doing something that can be better done a different way, because after all, hello, you've had a cock your whole life, and this is brand new to me, please be kind and give me gentle hints as to how I can be doing it differently that might make it easier for me and better for you. Deliver these hints in a kind way, not a frustrated way, in a way that you have patience, because I'm trying to please you. I'm trying to do something for you that you love. Here's another way that you can help me. When you fantasize about getting pegged, there's probably this vision in your mind about how it all plays out, what it's like, what position you're in, maybe what I say or whoever it is in your fantasies that is pegging you. I would like you to share that information with me, because that way I will be doing things that you have fantasized about that you like, that turn you on. Otherwise, it's basically a shot in the dark. There are a lot of different ways to do pegging. There are a lot of different things you can connect up to it, different kinks, and I don't know exactly how you want me to do this. You say that you don't want me to be dominant. Okay, that's great information. But how does it play out? What does it look like in your mind when you're picturing getting fucked and you're getting off picturing this? What are the words that are said? What's the conversation? What position are you in? See what I mean? The more information that I have from you, the easier it's going to be to give you what you want. And I love to give you pleasure. So yeah, have a conversation with him, something like that. I kind of went off. You know, communication is one of the things I dearly, dearly love. And it's really important that you communicate with him that this whole lack of patience and getting frustrated thing is not helping. The other thing I suggest you do is schedule it, because, again, I've said this many, many times on my podcast, it seems really unsexy. At the same time, what it does is it lets him know when this is going to be happening, so he doesn't have to hope that it happens every time he gets into bed, or even regularly. And you, it gives you time to prepare. So another thing you can do is you can watch pegging videos that are amateur ones. There is a whole collection of porn out there, as we all know. X-Hamster, Pornhub, all kinds of different places where you can see free clips. You have the power to change the categories. So put in pegging and then choose amateur and watch a few of those videos and see if you see anything that you really like. See if you see anything that inspires you, because when you watch a couple doing it together that have chemistry, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, not all of the videos in there are going to be between people who are really couples, but there are a good number of them that are clearly made by the couples themselves, and they have lovely chemistry. So that might give you some ideas. Absolutely. So those are the suggestions that I have for you. Podcast number 112, webinar, talk with your husband, watch some amateur porn videos of pegging, and see, oh, and schedule it. And, you know, the scheduling thing, that can be part of the conversation that you have when you have the conversation with him about how often, because, you know, you guys need to decide how often that would be. But one of the things that might make it fun, too, is to be sexting each other about it. Like if you say, okay, it's going to be every Wednesday, you can text him and say, hey, we're going to be fucking your ass tonight, or however you want to put it. Maybe you guys don't talk like that to each other. And I can't wait to slide my toy inside you. So I know that he said he doesn't want you to be dominant. At the same time, part of fucking someone is kind of running the fuck. So although you're not dominant, you do need to be a little bit sort of in charge, if you will. In charge in a way of being confident about what you're doing. Now, I know that's what you're struggling with. But imagine this. What would it be like if you got all ready and said, okay, this is how this is going to work this time, okay? I'm going to lay here on the bed like a pillow princess, and you are going to get off your ass and come and ride this thing so I can watch your face, so I can jerk your cock off, and you're going to show me how much pleasure you can get from my toy. Now, you can say that a little bit differently, but you know, this way, that's one of the positions that it takes the pressure off of you to be really good at it. So yeah, there's a bunch of different ideas. And you know, I go through those in the webinar too about which positions are good for beginners who don't really know how to fuck somebody because the learning curve is steep. So after all of this, please give yourself a break, take a deep breath, know that you are doing the best you can, and maybe even tell him that when you have that sit-down conversation. Like, you know what? The learning curve is steep here. I have never had a cock. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So have some patience and we will get there. And I will send you to the moon and I will find parts of this that I have fun with if you just have patience and work with me instead of getting frustrated and losing that patience and working against me because I love you. There you go. There's your speech. Hopefully in all of the stuff I said, you can find some gems. I do hope to see you in the webinar. The link to number 112 is going to be in the Linkorama. Good luck to you, Cynthia. Please do let us know how it goes. And once you have one of those amazing experiences where it just goes, you have fun, he has fun, it's awesome, let us know because I want to play the music for you. You are good giving and game here. You are working towards giving him what he wants, and that is admirable. That's really something to be celebrated and for him to appreciate. Thank you for the question. Okay, here is my next letter. I had to note your reference to ladies' afternoon teas. Tangentially to pegging, your femdom tea party may have broken new ground with the servers being clothed. My awareness of ladies' afternoon teas is based on my curious study of CFNM, and that means clothed female nude male, tea parties, as thoroughly described on bradscfnmvillage.com, Brad and Susie Bright's 1992 book, Sexual Reality, a Virtual Sex World Reader, describes the contemporary version. Writers Amy Wallace, Lisa Palak, Laura Miller, and sex educator Susie Bright went through a relatively extensive interview process to produce the first modern version of a CFNM tea party in 1991. Your followers can peruse either Susie Bright's description or that of cfnmvillage.com for a detailed explanation. For simplicity, Brad's website reveals the CFNM theme historically in art, culture, and society, divided into three broad categories. The rules are dependent on the female host or female organizers, so each party is unique. All of them involve some degree of male nudity from total to whatever the rules dictate. A small apron is sometimes required to avoid cross-contamination between male genitals and food and beverage. The servers can either be totally ignored while serving or become BDSM targets. Whether the party is for conversation among women or total power exchange, the power discrepancy mirrors female dominance and male submission. Yes, I am a big fan of CFNM tea parties. I have not been to enough, and I really have to thank the woman who put this on down in LA. Her name is Lady Calico. And yes, the servers were clothed. They indeed were. And I would love to find something a little more local that are tea parties that are CFNM. I know there's one in Northern California, but you know what? I went to this website, the cfnmvillage.com, and there is a link there for ongoing events and things like that. I don't know how complete it is, how thorough, how many areas it covers. But there is a lot of information on that website. So I thought I would share this with you listeners in case anyone out there shares the fantasy vision of being beautifully dressed, sipping tea and eating sweet delights and being served by nude men. I love this idea. I really do. So if any of you out there are like-minded, be you the nude servers or this being served, I will have that link in the Linkorama for you to explore. Thank you for sending that information. I appreciate it. Here's my next letter. This one's titled, Does She Really Enjoy It? Unsure in Wyoming. I've recently found podcasts in general and came across yours. I must say I do enjoy it. A little history about myself. I'm a fairly sexually liberated man and what most would describe as a macho dude. I'm tall, dark hair, blue-gray eyes, and for what my wife says, handsome in a rugged way. I've had some good experiences and some that were not so good. The first time I tried butt stuff was with another dude. I liked it, but found I wasn't exactly sexually attracted to males. I didn't like the feel of the whiskers. I ventured into the BDSM scene as a submissive. It was world-changing. But I met a woman and laughed the BDSM thing as a phase. Fast forward 12 years, I have been married a decade to that same woman that, well, she's a bit sexually stifled. I am not trying to say anything bad about my wife, but talking sex with her was a chore, and she always answered with, "I don't know." We had horrible communication, which was very frustrating for both of us. But one day there was a breakthrough, and we agreed to try pegging. The first few times were okay. We had cheap equipment. The dildo came free of the harness. And as I was seriously injured in Iraq, I am not so flexible as I once was. And she wanted to do it with me on my back. Anyway, she pegs me about once a month. I am very reticent to ask for more because I worry she doesn't like it or thinks I'm disgusting. When I ask her what she thought or try and talk about it, she mumbles or says, "It's okay. I don't know." It goes thusly. "Wow, babe, that was amazing. What did you think?" "It was okay," she replied meekly, sullenly maybe. "I just don't know what to do or say or not do or not say. I'm so goddamn frustrated and unsure of the entire situation. I'm afraid to suggest an evening of pegging." Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, thank you for sharing that. And I'm imagining that you are in a very uncomfortable situation right now because it takes a lot for men to ask for pegging. You have to wade through all of those myths and misconceptions. You have to decide that you're okay with yourself, and you have to trust that your partner isn't going to freak out. So yes, you got to the point where you asked about it, and now you're not having a good time with it, clearly, and she's not acting like she enjoys it at all. It's funny because this is almost a mirror of the letter that I read towards the beginning of this podcast. So here are some things I noticed right off the bat. Communication is horrible. Okay, so you say you had a breakthrough one day. Well, that doesn't solve horrible communication. That is perhaps a one-night or several-time thing where she agrees to do something that you have wanted her to do for a long time and do the pegging, but that does not mean your communication has significantly improved. The communication you describe would make any kind of sexual exploration difficult. You need to improve the communication first. So here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that you find a really sex-positive therapist and go to that therapist specifically with the intention to improve your communication in general, and more importantly, to improve your communication around sex. You two need better communication, period. I can just tell from reading what you wrote here and listening to how you describe it. Wouldn't it be awesome if both of you felt free enough to be able to talk about things openly, to talk about things that bothered you, to talk about things that you wished they weren't that way, and also to talk about things you desire and are afraid to ask for and wish were a different way in the opposite direction that you got more of or something like that, something you fantasize about and you have never asked for because you're kind of ashamed or afraid? See what I mean? There is so much shame around sexuality. And that shame, it seems as if, is affecting her communication with you around sex. It's not just the pegging thing. It's that she doesn't seem to be able to communicate with you around sex, period, very much. Glad you had the breakthrough, and glad she's open to doing the pegging thing. But improving the communication between you, I think, is paramount at this point. Because unless you do that, you can't talk about stuff. For example, like you say, you ask her, "Wasn't that awesome? You know, what'd you think?" And she's like, "It was okay." So that's not communicating openly. If she were to say, "It was okay, what I really didn't like was X, Y, and Z, but the parts that were okay were A, B, and C," that's communicating. So go to a therapist with her and work on your communication. If you have better communication, it's not only going to improve your sex life in bed, and likely it will improve the pegging, but it will improve your lives together, period, because you'll have better communication around everything. I think authenticity is the sexiest thing. That came up in a podcast some while back, and it's been stuck in my mind, and I can't get over how true that is. To be authentic is so sexy. And what a relief. You know where you stand with your partner. You know what they like and what they don't like. They may not like everything you want them to like, but at least you know where you stand and they're honest with you. When you can depend on that honesty, you can relax, you can trust, and know that they will communicate with you their desires, their likes, their dislikes, etc. So please, go to a therapist, get some counseling, put the pegging on the back burner for a little while. So have a sit down with her and say, hey, you know, I would really like to have better communication with you. Would you be willing to go to a therapist with me so we can work on this? Because I think it will really help everything in our lives together. I mean, you don't even have to mention sex. And if she's willing to go, then you could start working on that there. But please do make sure it is a sex-positive therapist, because when you bring up the whole idea of pegging, it would be great if that therapist didn't freak out and they were kind of on board. I will put the link of ASECT, which I think is the American Association of Sex Educators and Therapists or something like that. But basically what it is, it's a list of therapists that are sex positive and that will hold space for different sexual explorations as opposed to falling into the myths and misconceptions and judgments that the rest of society does without even exploring it. So yes, that's important that you find a therapist like that. I understand your frustration, and it's got to be really, really difficult for you, because there you are in a vulnerable position having said, hey, I really like this and I want you to do this, and then she's acting like, eh, it's okay, and then not even communicating with you. So yeah, I'm sure you're really, really frustrated, but work on the relationship, work on the communication, and then get back to the pegging. And when you get to that point, when the communication starts to happen between you two, and the therapy starts to work, and you break down some of those walls, and you're able to communicate openly about sexual things, you never really know what you're going to find. She may have some shame from a deep-seated childhood thing. She may just have shame from a religious upbringing. Who knows? I don't really know what's happening with your partner. However, once you get to that point, then would be the time to say, okay, so now let's talk about this sex thing now that we've got better communication, because I want to have the best sexual relationship with you in the world. I want to send you to the moon. So alongside all of this stuff that I just said, it just occurs to me now that please do remember to keep your side of the street clean. And if you've listened to my podcast before, you know that what I mean is make sure you're a really, really good husband to her. Help her out. Help her with the things that she's responsible for. Try and keep her happy. Try and sexually please her as much as you possibly can. And if she's kind of not open to that because she is... See, here's what I'm envisioning from your description. It could be entirely wrong, but what I picture is that she has sex and she kind of goes through with it, but she doesn't revel in it. You know, she doesn't get sexy with it. She doesn't flirt with you. She doesn't initiate. So if that's the case, that work on the communication between you is going to weave right in to the sexual relationship that you have with each other. So that's the best advice I have for you. It's a little bit above my pay grade, but it sounds like this is what needs to happen. And once you get to that point, then she can listen to podcast number 12. You guys can come and take a webinar. Those things would be really, really helpful, because I find that many, many times the women who are not all that thrilled about it don't really understand why men enjoy it as much as they do. And they also usually have some myths and misconceptions that no one has corrected, no one has talked about. So listening to podcast number 112 is really helpful. And then attending a webinar empowers you through education, basically. But that's a ways off. Work on the communication first. Thank you so much for the letter. Good luck to you, sir. I hope that at some point in time, as soon as possible, you are getting all the pegging you need and want. Okay, here is another letter. This one is entitled, Thanks, It Worked. I love that. Thanks for all you do. You're my rock star. I've got so much I want to share, but this made it to the top of the list. My wife and I have been pegging for about 27 years. 50 is the male and 47 is the female. In that time, we tried various methods to stay clean, including fiber supplements. The red drugstore enema bag with short tip worked the best for us. Not anymore. Your recommendation on Pure for Men is spot on. No more flushing out hours before. It took about a week to get going, but since then, I am ready on demand with no mess. We have pegged about 6 times, and it's clean as a whistle. Laugh out loud, hashtag stay ready. Love you, K and E. K and E, I'm so happy for you. I knew that someone was going to be reporting in pretty soon on the Pure for Men because a few of you said that you were going to try it. So I am thrilled that it seems to be working exactly as advertised. Whoopee! So I'll put that again in the Linkorama for everyone. One of the reasons it says that this is a really good formulation of fiber supplement, in case you're thinking about just substituting it for a different fiber supplement, which you could do and it might work. But I guess one of the things about this one is that they put some stuff in there so it doesn't cause you a lot of gas. It prevents gas production because sometimes fiber supplements can mess with your system a little bit. And while they're doing a great job with the fiber part, they can cause uncomfortable gas. And apparently this is formulated so that that is not a problem. You don't mention anything about that, so I'm assuming it worked like a charm, not only in the cleanliness department, but in the this is okay for my body and it feels okay to take department. So whoopee! Thank you so much for sharing this. And now I'm going to promote this a little bit more to those of you who really like a lot of pegging and would love to be ready on demand. Hashtag stay ready. Oh, K and E. Bless your hearts. Thank you. Here's my next letter. Hi, Ruby. Hope you're well and fighting the fight for the Church of the Peg. I thought I would share my story with you and the fellow apostles. As a teenager, I discovered the pleasure of my arse. I would lie in the bath and fuck myself on the handle of a scrubbing brush. It felt good, but the guilt was crushing. I always remember the conversation I had with my father when my mother had found my porn mag collection. I was told to get them out of the house, and it was an insult to my mother. Hell, what a guilt trip. There always was a working-class Puritan prudish attitude to anything sexual, which instilled a lot of guilt. Maybe this is a British thing. Maybe not. Most of my adolescence was a miasma of guilt and ridicule. I tell you this to try to show you how hard my liberation has been, though I'm not looking for sympathy. My future wife was in my class from age of 11. We went through school and met up afterwards at the age of 17 and started going out. We got married at 22 and had 2 boys. They are 28 and 25. She has been my rock of Gibraltar. We have developed as a couple sexually. These developments have been varied, from water sports, oral, play piercings, to food play and mutual anal penetration. I remember the conversation we had when I confessed my love of arse play. It was in a Chinese restaurant. How many Chinese restaurants has this happened in? My wife took it well, and we played with each other's arses. It was fun, but with all these things, I was frightened that my wife would think I was gay if I said how much arse play rocked my boat. Note to all, in the spring when the weather warms up and people wear less and less, who draws your attention, girls or boys? That's how you gauge your orientation. So many near car crashes due to low-cut tops and very short shorts. We progressed to toys and my wife would fuck me with a dildo in her hand. Our normal sex life would have the usual oral and penetration, which was great, but when my wife would finger my arse, I was in ecstasy. About 3 years ago, I hit a wall. A lot to do with my childhood, did some counseling. My counselor thought my father was psychopathic. He ticked 7 out of 10 of the boxes. I had spent my life trying to please everyone. I read the book Counseling for Toads. The long and the short of it was I became a bit militant. I realized I had self-worth and my desires meant something. You notice how I stood up to Love Honey about the toxic toys. And I'm going to mention at this point in time that several podcasts ago, there was a guy who wrote in who bought a toxic toy from Love Honey and basically demanded that they replace it and wrote to the manufacturer and the whole thing. So yes, this is that guy. Okay, to go on with the letter here. After this long journey, my advice to guys out there is don't feel guilty. You're not gay if you want arse pleasure. You have discovered the most extreme ecstasy. If your partner doesn't understand, then you need to move on. Life is too short. I am lucky that my wife loves me so much. She understands that I have been my own worst enemy because I was raised with a lack of self-worth that has dragged me down. As to the mechanics of anal play, here is some guidance. Cleaning out. I use a shower diverter. It takes me 2 minutes to clean out. Do a bowel movement, then put the flexi tube up your arse. It flushes out your rectum. No need for deep clean. You can have anal within 5 minutes. My wife and I peg once a week. We use a silicone flared base dildo from Babes and Horny, 9 inches long and 2.25 inches in diameter. Our harness is a Rodeo 2.5. My wife finds this a very comfortable harness. Our best position is spoons. My wife can fuck me hard and reach around to all my good bits. We make love on the weekends. On Saturday, we have PIV sex, which is so relaxing. On Sundays, first I clean out and shower. Then we massage each other, and she sucks my cock, and I suck my wife's clit. I then fuck my wife. She comes with a full G-spot orgasm. I can feel her tensing around my cock, and I slow my movement, but increase my depth. After she comes, we kiss and hug, then she starts to rub my cock. Her fingers start to rub my arse, and she penetrates me. She rubs my prostate. It is bliss. She slides her fingers in and out while sucking my cock. I can feel my prostate swelling up. She then pulls out of me and gets the dildo and fits it into the rodeo harness. I dribble lube onto it and lay on my side. I guide the head into my arse, and my wife pushes the whole dildo in. It seems to be sliding in forever. She thrusts for 2 or 3 minutes, saying how much she wants to fuck my arse. All the time I am squeezing down on the dildo. When I come, it is a total body experience. I'm a shaking mess. After sex, I always clean my arse out afterwards. I'm not keen on leaving the lube in me. I feel it is important to keep yourself stretched. I have a session once a week where I stretch myself with an 8-inch long by 8-inch circumference plug. This allows me to take an 8-inch long by 2-inch wide dildo with ease. My wife understands how important pegging is to me, and I reciprocate by doing my share of the cooking and cleaning. I also make sure that I treat her with respect and with love. She is a very special person, and I have spent 35 very happy years with her. From what I hear, our friends regard us as a special, loving couple. We are humbled by this. I would like to thank you, Ruby, for being there. We are thousands of miles apart, but united in spirit. Maybe one day we may hug, but if not, I am sending you a warmness of feeling from across the sea. This has been a bit of an outpouring of emotion, which, being a Brit, has been a bit of a difficult exercise for me. I'm still on a journey, but I feel you have had a tough journey yourself. To me, you are displaying an American grit that I so admire. Kind regards from across the pond. Love and hugs, D. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for that letter. That was amazing. It's really quite heartwarming when people take the time to write down their story like you did, D, because sharing that and sharing the agonies and the ecstasies, the parts that were awesome and the parts that were difficult, is so humanizing. What I mean about that is we see you as a human, not just this guy with an awesome wife that loves to get pegged, but someone who has struggled to get to where they are, someone who has gone through a lot, someone who has had some victories over how they were raised. And I so appreciate the vulnerability and openness of everyone who writes down their story and shares it like you just did. Thank you so much for that. So I had to contact you before I recorded because initially when you wrote this, that one sentence, you said you have a session once a week where you stretch yourself and it says 8 inches long by 8-inch in diameter plug. And I quick wrote you and said, wait, do you mean 8 inches in circumference? Because 8 inches in diameter is fucking huge, right? I don't think I said that in my email, but you get the point. So 8 inches in circumference is about 2.5 inches in diameter. So that makes a lot of sense that stretching yourself once a week with 2.5-inch diameter plug would make it much easier for her to just slide right in there with a 2.25-inch dildo. That's awesome. I commend you. on your outpouring of emotion, on your opening up and sharing with us as a Brit and just as a man and a person. I so, so enjoyed your story, especially that you two have been married for 35 years and that your friends look at you and go, wow, they're really in love. They're quite special. Yes, because other people can see that, you know, when you have the little looks and the flirtations and, you know, you're kind of touching each other all the time. They can see when you have a really good sexual relationship. And it's not just sex, it's everything. So good for you. And kudos to your wife. When you mentioned that part about how you guys do spooning and she fucks you for a while and talks about how much she wants to fuck your ass and just how much she's enjoying it, that is heaven to hear for men who enjoy pegging. Because I think one of the biggest fears, evidenced by the letters that we've gotten in this podcast so far, is that she's doing it, but she's not into it. She's doing it, but she doesn't like it. Because it doesn't feel good to have someone who's not enthusiastic about it. It doesn't feel good to have someone who's doing it just for you. I mean, there's a point at which you can have someone who's doing it just for you, but wouldn't it be so much better if enthusiasm was part of it? I remember reading a post on Reddit about what quality, what, you know, doing what during a blowjob is what all men like. And just across the board, enthusiasm. It's like, if you've got enthusiasm, then your technique doesn't even need to be that good because enthusiasm makes it or breaks it. So I can get where all of you guys out there who want pegging really want your partner to be enthusiastic. And there are ways to help that happen. You may not get it every time, but I feel for you, absolutely, because it's the same thing for me receiving. Like when I receive PIV, I want someone who's enthusiastic. I want someone who is just so thrilled to be there fucking me, as opposed to, okay, what do I have to do to fuck her until she's satisfied so that I can stop, so I can have my orgasm and I can come. That's the last thing you want to feel with a partner. The best kind of sex, in my opinion, is a mutual, relaxed exploration of each other's bodies to find out how much pleasure you can feel and how much pleasure you can get your partner to feel. That's my ideal view of sex, when it works the best. So Dee, thank you for writing in and for your hints about how you clean out and everything. Really appreciate the letter. And I'm waving at you from across the pond. Okay, I've got one more webinar this year. It is on Saturday, November 17th in the morning at 10 a.m. And then I'm going to take a break until January. I will be putting that January one up quite soon, just so that you've got something to look forward to and you know what date it is. And if any of you out there are really wanting to attend a webinar, but you can't find a time and a day that works for you, please do feel free to shoot me an email and tell me, you know what, if you did it Pacific time, Thursday nights at 5 o'clock, I'd be there. Not a problem. I can do that. So don't feel shy about asking for a time that works for you if all of the times that I've offered recently haven't. I do tend to do more on weekends because I think more people are available on weekends. But that's not always the case. All of you don't have weekends off because there are clearly people working on the weekends as well. So there you have it. If you want to attend that webinar on November 17th, that's happening in just a few days, know that if when you get the tickets for it, if you make any kind of donation, or if you pay for the ticket instead of getting a free one, all of those monies from that November 17th webinar are going to go to my Movember challenge. One person already registered and did the $20 donation, which was really appreciated. So just know that if any of you want to pay for your ticket, it's just the $15 for receivers. And if you're a giver and you're getting the ticket for free, you can always make a donation. There's an option right there to make a donation at the same time that you buy the ticket. I am hoping that any of you out there that have some sexy plans to do pegging over the holidays and you want to take my webinar first, this is the chance. This is it, you guys, November 17th. Come and sit through the webinar. Or if you need a refresher and you've already sat through it once, come sit through it again. The other thing that's going to be happening in this November 17th webinar is this going to be the last one that is 2 hours long and chock full of information as it is, because like I mentioned before, you know, I have so much information in my head and I kept adding it and I kept putting new slides in until it was 2 hours long. Yeah, that's too long. So it's going to be divided up starting in January to beginning classes and advanced classes. But if you want the 2 hour thing and you're willing to sit through that, this will be your last chance to get the 2 hour class. You know, and the advanced class is going to be free as well. So don't worry about cost or anything like that. But yes, the 2 hour class will be there, and it'd be a great introduction for any of you planning on presenting your significant other, with warning, hopefully, any kind of pegging equipment in the Christmas packages or holiday packages or whatever it is you celebrate. Not everyone out there celebrates Christmas, but if there's a time between now and the new year when you exchange gifts of any kind or you're planning on getting your sexy times on with the pegging, and you would like to feel more confident by educating yourself about pegging before you jump into the pegging world with your significant other, come to the webinar. Yes. All right. My commercial is over. We're done here. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also find my work at pegging101.com. where you will find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any sexy new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too radical, too rigorous, or too remedial. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.